This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Sunday, April 18th, 2021, and it is the sixth day of Ramadan. So we're going to be covering the sixth juz of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. So I've done a few things. I've made a few adjustments to the live stream. Hopefully, I know there have been some issues with the sound quality on YouTube and Instagram. No, on YouTube and Facebook. And so hopefully that's resolved. I hope. We'll see. I'm trying something different every day. Hopefully today it's working much better. So for those of you that are here, hopefully you're able to see much more clearly in Lotada. So we're going to be going through the sixth juz of the Quran, alhamdulillah. We completed five juz already, and when you think of it, tomorrow is the seventh day of Ramadan. Tonight is the seventh night of Ramadan, which means we're reaching that 1 week mark already. And, you know, when you feel like you're reaching that one week mark, you start to think to yourself, well, that means the first 10 days are almost gone, and then we're reaching the middle 10 days. And the middle 10 days, they go pretty fast, because as much as we feel like, okay, the month is just starting, we are nearing the end of the month. I'm just going to ask if anyone is... can you check on YouTube if it's the stream is working well? Something's not right. Something just isn't right. Every day there's something that just isn't right. It's working?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Quality's terrible? Yeah, because I'm using the laptop. There you go. It's a bit. I tried to make the glitchiness go away. So let me know how the sound is. If the sound is not glitchy, then that's okay. If the video quality is glitchy, that's different. I know for the last week, everyone's been having issues with the sound. And if the sound is no good, then that's a problem. So, Nayab, if you could let me know if the sound is good, that'd be great. If not, then... if the sound is still glitchy, I may as well connect my camera and have the picture quality much better as well. Okay, so in the sixth juz, we're going to start with verse number 171. In verse number 171, this is in Surah An-Nisa. So for those that are wondering which surah we are on Surah An-Nisa. Oh, I know things are good on Instagram. Alhamdulillah, Instagram is good. In fact, we should probably only stream on Instagram, because it seems like that's the one platform that works really well. So the sound is also glitchy. That's interesting. Well, if the sound is glitchy, I'm going to connect my camera. No, I'll leave it for today, inshallah. So verse number 171 of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقَّ إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. So in verse number 171, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a very, very important lesson about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was saying this the other day, how important it is for us to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know of Him and more about Him. And this is where Allah puts a limit. I was actually just talking to someone about this earlier today, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts limits for us. Don't transgress these limits. This is the limit, the boundary. Don't transgress the boundary. Okay, stick to the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. And I was mentioning this earlier today, that as human beings, we need to have boundaries. We need to have certain limits that are set in place. As much as we love freedom, as much as we want to just live our lives and do what we want and, you know, be as we want to be, we have to have certain boundaries put in place in order to keep us within what is permitted and what's not permitted. And that, or those boundaries, define who we are. Okay, so as Muslims, the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define who we are. Are we people that are going to do things that are haram, things that are considered indecent, things that are considered immoral? No, we're not going to. As Muslims, we don't do that. Our boundaries are set by Allah. As humans living in a society, living in a country or in a city or a town, we have boundaries that should be set as well. And those boundaries are what define the people. The people of Mississauga are known as certain people. The people of Scarborough have certain things that define them. The people of, Toronto have certain things that define them. The people of Milton, well, we're still trying to define ourselves because we're growing so fast, right? This is a lighthearted joke, right? So somehow those boundaries are put in place there to define things. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a boundary in place. He says, Ya ahl al-kitabi, la taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al-haq. O people of the book, do not go to extremes regarding your faith and say nothing about Allah except the truth. So don't go to extremes. Don't have what we say in Arabic, or what we call in Arabic, ghulu. Right? Ghulu is excessiveness in the deen, excessiveness in anything. But of course, when we're talking about Islam here, we're talking about excessiveness in the deen, matters related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us here? He says, إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح من. He says the Messiah, right? The Messiah, Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger of Allah and the fulfillment of his word through Mary, and a spirit created command from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us not to go to excessive limits, right, in things. And he's telling the people of the book, right, the Christians here specifically, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Ahl al-Kitab and talking about the life of Isa alayhi salam. And he says not to go to extremes in faith, and recognize that Isa alayhi salam is not more than a messenger of Allah. Okay, a messenger of God. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says. He says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً, and do not say, right? So believe in Allah and His messengers, and do not say Trinity. Stop. إِنْهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. Stop. For your own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't talk about this Trinity. Don't believe in it. Don't implement it. It doesn't exist. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you can, you know, do your homework. Those who, Allahu musta'an, Mahtab, if the video is bad, that's fine. Is the sound good? If the sound is good, alhamdulillah, right? The video quality, I have a feeling that the video quality was good in the last few days, but that affected the sound quality. So I'm hoping that people could hear properly. Check. I'm going to put high definition here. And just change a couple of settings, inshallah. There we go. So hopefully the sound quality and video quality comes out a little bit better, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, stop with this nonsense of the Trinity. You know, if you go and you ask someone about the Trinity and ask them, you know, can you explain it to me? They'll give you all these different definitions, but there's not one clear-cut definition or example of the Trinity that can be given. There's bits and pieces here and there, but it just doesn't fit. And many people who leave Christianity, it's because of this main thing. It's the frustration to do with the fact that the Trinity just doesn't make sense. It's not clear. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. With regards to the Trinity, stop. Don't, for your own good, don't even go there, right? You're just going to confuse yourself. Allah is only one God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Allah is only one God. There's just one. Glory be to Him. سُبْحَانَ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. He is far above having a son. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah is sufficient as a trustee of the affairs. Alhamdulillah. Right? We leave things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was an interesting verse that's very important for us as believers to take into consideration as well. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to Prophet Isa alayhi salam that we are not to go to excessive levels of worship when it comes to messengers of God or prophets, then the same applies to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and our interaction with him. People go to excessive levels and go to extremes. They go beyond the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets. And remember, we took this verse a few nights ago where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ رُسُلٌ أَفَإِمَّاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and the verse goes on, right? I'm not going to read the whole thing. We took this verse already. Allah reminds us, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ, and there were prophets that came before. People went to excessive levels or measures in their worshipping of God and linking it to the prophets and the messengers, like that of this example that we're looking at here, related to Prophet Isa alayhi salam in verse number 171 of Surah An-Nisa. We move to the next surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is a very difficult surah for Muslims to learn throughout the month of Ramadan, because Surah Al-Ma'idah is titled The Spread of Food. Lots of it in front of you. We're going to be talking about food, everybody. So if you're hungry, pay close attention, because some of the foods you might be about to eat may not be permissible. Or we already know what is and what isn't, and alhamdulillah, it is what it is. Right? So also, at the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 1 and 2, he says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد يا أيها الذين
الذين آمنوا لا تحلوا شعائر الله ولا الشهر الحرام ولا الهدي ولا القلائد ولا آمين البيت الحرام يبتغون فضلا من ربهم ورضوانا وإذا حللتم فاصطادوا ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم أن صدوكم عن المسجد الحرام أن تعتدوا وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers, O believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, أوفوا بالعقود, honor your obligations. أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم. إن الله يحكم ما يريد. All grazing livestock has been made lawful to you. Allah says this right after saying, O believers, honor your obligations. What is the obligation that we have upon us here? To eat what Allah has made halal for us. Accept what is hereby announced to you as being haram. And hunting while in pilgrimage is also not permitted. And that's what's mentioned in the next verse. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed Allah commands what He wills. O believers, do not violate Allah's rituals of pilgrimage, the sacred months, the sacrificial animals, the offerings decorated with garlands, nor those pilgrims on their way to the sacred house, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about going for Hajj and Umrah, being in the state of Ihram and hunting. Okay, and that's a topic that I really don't want to get into for tonight, because I don't anyone who goes for Hajj and Umrah and hunts along the way anymore. Right? There's no one that really does that. But during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would bring the animals that they were going to consume all the way for their trip, and the animals that they would sacrifice at Hajj, they would give to the poor in need, and they may have been in need as well themselves during that time, and they may have eaten from those animals, and then they would bring the food with them so that they can return on their journey back to Madinatul Munawwar or wherever else the Muslims were coming from. So Allah refers to food as being something that's an obligation upon us. As believers, we need to understand the importance of food. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us about eating halal and how to eat. Not just eating halal, but how to eat and when to refrain from eating. For example, we're not supposed to be eating. Well, for those of us that are here in Toronto or in this part of Canada, I know for some of our friends that are in the Southern Hemisphere, it might be night. Actually, it's probably daytime for you now as well. But you know, anyone who's experiencing night right now, you know, they'll be eating, alhamdulillah, and that's fine, right? You're allowed to eat at night. Allahu Akbar, in the evening. I say this every year when I live stream during Ramadan. You're going to see me yawning a lot, okay? Because it's the end of a long day of fasting. There's no caffeine in me. There's no energy in me, but we give it all we've got at the end of the day, alhamdulillah. So it's important for us to focus on our food and what we consume. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us as well that when we consume what is haram, then we jeopardize our dua being accepted for some period of time. That doesn't mean that we should not pray. That means that we still have to fulfill the obligation, but there's no extra rewards in it for us. So stay away from haram food and consuming that which is doubtful. Okay, staying away from haram food as well as that which is considered doubtful. What we are not aware of, we should stay away from. Dates are halal and don't require the biha, so you can break your fast on dates, inshallah. Okay, dates and water, al-aswadan, simple, right? Alhamdulillah. Mahtab, you're asking where I got this sweater from. NZF, ask NZF UK, Australia, to get you a sweater that says Sabr after hardship comes ease. In fact, the quote is not after hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With hardship comes ease. So you have to go through hardship. Don't wait for after the hardship something's going to come. No, with hardship comes ease, and with hardship comes ease, right? So lots of ease will come after hardship, with hardship, not after. Alhamdulillah. We'll move on, inshallah ta'ala. I know at the end of the verse there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, touches upon the importance of respecting wildlife while someone is in ihram. When someone is in the state of ihram, you are not allowed to harm another human, and we're not allowed to do this for no reason at any time, right? We are also not allowed to hunt animals. We're not allowed to damage the wildlife that's there or even the nature. So when you're in ihram, you can't even pluck leaves off trees, right? We're not allowed to do that. It's a time that we train ourselves to be as patient as we possibly can, sabr, with the hardships that we are enduring. Hajj is a training ground, right? Hajj is training grounds. Anyone who really is trying to learn some patience, go for Hajj and see how well you excel from the time you left home till the day you reach in Mina before you even start Hajj. You will see you've already excelled in your ability to be patient. How? How does that happen? Very simple. You're in the luxuries and the comforts of your home, wherever you are, whatever country or city you're in. You now need to take a flight. The flight is long, but you're patient with it. You may have wished to be in business class or first class, but you ended up in economy. Alhamdulillah. That's state number one of gaining patience through Hajj, right? You then transit in a country because, the direct flights just aren't happening now, right? So you transit in another country. And while you're there, you want to take a shower, but you don't have access to a shower, right? While you're there, you need to put on your ihram. And now you start to let go of your clothing. And so even the clothing that brings comfort or safety to us, like our undergarments, an undershirt and underwear, right? We're used to wearing that in North America. In many countries, they don't wear underwear like we do over here, right? But that's something that you're letting go of. So you're not only just taking off your clothing that you are used to wearing, like there's sleeves on it and you put your pants on and you're... One leg is going through one pant leg and the other leg is going through another. So, you feel comfortable, but you also feel protected, right? Your body is being covered properly. When you put ihram on, especially for the men, for the brothers, you don't have sleeves. So now you're learning patience through that, right? You're learning patience through that. You have just a towel, what's considered to be like a towel wrapped around you. And also on your waist, you have just the izar wrapped around you. Okay? And so, or for those of you that are, Pakistani, Indian, you probably know the term lungi, right? A lungi, or in English, a sarong in Malaysia as well. Sarong, right? We use that word. So subhanAllah, you're just wearing that around you. And it's not a sarong or a lungi that's completely sewn around. It's open, right? So it's like a towel wrapped around you. And you remove your undergarments as well. So now you don't feel comfortable at all. You feel real strange. You don't have your undergarments on and you don't have your clothing on. You feel awkward, but you're going to be patient with it. And then you get on the plane and you fly into Mecca or Jeddah, and then you take a bus to Mecca. Now you're dealing with the heat, and you go from one hotel to another hotel to another hotel. And as you gradually get closer to Hajj, the level of hotels, the level of food quality, the level of patience is going to be tested, right? The amount of electricity that you have access to, the amount of air conditioning that you have access to, all of that is diminished drastically. Then you go to Arafah. So now you go from your hotel to Mina, right? For example, you go from your hotel to Mina. Doti, yes, doti, jazakallah khair. You're in Mina and you have air conditioning, alhamdulillah, in your tent, but you're sleeping on the ground, right? You might have a soft cushion that they give you nowadays. I remember back when I did Hajj, the first two times I did Hajj, there was no such thing as having a mattress in Mina. In fact, the first time I did Hajj, there was no air conditioning in Mina, right? We didn't, the tents that you see in Mina now did not exist the very first time I went for Hajj. The first time I went for Hajj was in 1988. And there were no Kevlar tents, right? Those tents were not there. Those Kevlar tents were made in the 90s when there was a fire that spread, you know, and burnt down quite a few of the tents. And they realized, let's make them out of Kevlar now because it's fire retardant and it won't burn things down. So if a fire does break out, we're a little bit more safe, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that you gain this patience through going for Hajj. And now that you're in Mina, you have some luxuries still, like air conditioning. You have washrooms that are fairly decent, because then you go to Arafah. And in Arafah, you're in a completely different tent, right? And you have a lot less luxuries. And the washroom, may Allah help you. If you need to go to the washroom, you better not wait until you need to go. You better go when you don't need to go. Because you're going to have to wait in line, in the sun, in the heat. And it is tough. And it's a long line, let me tell you. It's a long line because it's so hot. People go in the washroom and they start pouring water and taking a shower. And every single person who goes in is pretty much coming out taking a shower. So it's like waiting for people to take showers. Now, you're in Arafah, you're making dua, you transition to Muzdalifah. Now you have nothing. Now you have nothing. Right? The patience that you develop just in going for Hajj is the training grounds for when we come back. You're hungry, you want food, you see the halal restaurant is 5 kilometers away, and the... or I should say, the Muslim-owned restaurant is 5 kilometers away, and the non-Muslim-owned restaurant is 1 kilometer away. You will say, if in Hajj I can go the distance, then in luxury I can go the distance, right? So you start to remember the times in Hajj. If during Ramadan we say, you know what, just make dua for more than 5 minutes. You think to yourself, when we went for Hajj, we made dua for 6 hours consecutively. Standing up. So we should be able to do it for a few minutes or a little bit of time, short amount of time throughout this month of Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala. Training grounds for us. And Ramadan is a training ground as well. Ramadan, people think, oh, Ramadan is the month where we don't backbite, we don't steal, we don't cheat, we don't lie, we don't, you know, unjustly harm others or take away people's rights and stuff like that. But the rest of the year we can do that? No. This is a time that resets us, that strengthens us, puts us more firm on our belief, so that throughout the year, we are reminded that, you know what, during Ramadan, we are able to do this even while fasting. So we should be able to do this throughout the whole year as well. And that's the lesson we get from these verses. Let's move on, inshallah ta'ala. Let's go to verse number 27 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Okay, verse number 27 and 28 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Here, I'll go through this very briefly, inshallah ta'ala, because it is fairly long and I want to cover a little bit more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here shares the story of Qabil and Habil. Who is Qabil and who is Habil? In English, we say Cain and Abel. Allah says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِنْ بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين.
أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الظالمين فطوعت له نفسه قتل أخيه فقتله فأصبح من الخاسرين.
I wasn't going to spend much time on it, so I'm not going to read any more verses. I only wanted to recite the first two, but the story starts and you just, you know, when you know Arabic and you start reciting the story in Arabic, you just feel like, okay, I got to do this whole story. Like, I need to recite it. It just hits home. And this is why it's important, my brothers and sisters, all of us, to learn Arabic. Please, please, please try and learn Arabic. And for those of you who speak Urdu, you know, it's so much easier for you, alhamdulillah. So take full advantage of trying to learn it. Give me one second. I'm just going to plug the... Sorry about that. So some of you have been saying that the picture quality is terrible and the sound is still glitchy anyway. So if you're listening to glitchy sound, you may as well have good quality. So I'll plug the camera in and I'll keep teaching as I set it up, inshallah. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here the story of Qabil and Habil. These are two sons of Adam alayhi salam. These two sons... it says, وَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبْأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Relate to them in truth, O Prophet, the story of Adam's two sons. Okay, how each of them offered a sacrifice. Abel's offering was accepted while Cain's was not. So Cain threatened Abel, Habil, right? And he said to him, I will kill you. His brother replied, Allah only accepts the offering of the sincerely devout. Now, what do we learn in this lesson here? What we learn is, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that be sincere in everything that we do. And sincerity is, by extension, hold on. Bismillah. So we need to be sincere in everything that we do, right? And the sincerity that we need to have as Muslims, we can learn a few things from the story of Cain and Abel, Qabil and Habil. When being sincere in dealing with our family members at home, our relatives, the people that we live with, the people that are around us, right? We should treat them in an honest, fair, just manner. Being people of justice, people who know the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who understand what Islam teaches, who understand the importance of being right and true. No brothers, no sisters should be arguing with each other as actual blood brothers and sisters in ways that takes them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should not be doing things as well that are displeasing to Allah, breaking ties of kinship. And I'm not going to get into the story of Cain and Abel here. I really want to highlight something other than that. You pretty much all know the story of Qabil and Habil. But what I really want you to keep in mind is how dangerous it is for family members to fight and to argue. We should not be doing that, okay? We should not be arguing with one another. We should not be breaking ties with one another as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no sin is worthy of a swift punishment in this life and in the next more than cutting off rahim, cutting off family ties. No sin is more deserving of a quick, swift punishment in this life and in the hereafter, more than cutting family ties and relations. So keep contact with your parents. Keep contact with your children. Keep contact with your siblings. Keep in contact with those who are around you, those who are close to you, your family. It could be your uncles, your aunts, your cousins, your relatives, people who extend further and further out from the family. Stay in touch with them. Don't cut ties with them, because there is nothing more deserving of swift punishment in this life and the next than that. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you think of it, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, how many of us have issues with our family? How many of us have issues with family members and relatives? Loads of us have issues and problems. And we always say, tomorrow I'm going to resolve it. Tomorrow I'm going to look into it. Tomorrow I'm going to do something about it. This is our homework for today. Our homework for today is, if you have a grudge or you have an issue with a relative of yours, or you haven't spoken to them because of something that's happened in the past, maybe days, months, years ago, give them a call or send them a message and let them know that you are sorry and that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love them and you don't want to have issues between you and them anymore. Okay? Someone is asking, what if they want to, but they don't like you? What if you want to, but they won't? Okay, what if you want to, but they don't want to? Well, you try. You keep your door open. You reach out to them and you've done your part. If they shut their door on you, then that's them shutting their door. And look at the story of Qabil and Habil. Habil was like, I'm not going to fight you. You're my brother. You'll kill me before I even fight you. And that's exactly what happened. He ended up killing his brother. And then we see the story of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, you know, a crow and digs the ground and buries another crow. And he realized out of shame, you know what, I should at least bury my brother. I just killed him and left him like that, right? So the story is long. There's a lot of lessons to get from it. But the lesson that I really want us to learn today is the importance of maintaining relationships with our family men, our relatives, brothers and sisters. We should and must and have to look after our family and our relatives. Okay? It is a responsibility that every single we must fulfill that responsibility. What just happened? Oh, I accidentally pulled. I have no idea why I just did that, but I just pulled the wire right out of my computer. My hand just went there and I just pulled it out for some odd reason. Alhamdulillah. It'll be back soon, inshallah. Inshallah. Radish, this is terrible. All right, we're back on. Welcome. Okay, let's move on to verse number 32. Okay, verse number 32 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Verse number 32. من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس. So this is still the story of Qabil and Habil, but what we're seeing is a lesson that is slightly different. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the importance of taking care of human life, right? Taking care of human life, that it is sacred, and we must play our part in making sure that we try to help others. Allah says in this verse, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ. مشكلة.
I don't like when mushkilas happen. Problem is, I'm live streaming to 6 different places at once. And when one goes wrong, you gotta deal with it. So Allah says, that is why we ordained for the children of Israel. Israel, not Israel. Israel, okay? The children of Israel, Banu Israel. That whoever takes a life, unless as a punishment for murder or mischief in the land, as in if it is a punishment that that person is receiving, you know, like capital punishment, or something that they did, right? They're receiving a punishment for it. I know I need IT support, seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will be as if they killed all of humanity. مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever takes the life of someone, murders someone, right? Or causes a fitna on earth. مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ. They're spreading some sort of mischief on earth. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It's as though that person has killed or taken the life of this entire world, every single person on it. Why such a harsh statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, think about it. It's showing us the sanctity of a life. That one person's life is so important that you should do your best to save and protect that human being. Why? Because if you don't, then it's as though all of humanity was destroyed. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And whoever gives life, okay, whoever gives life or saves a life, it is as though or as if they saved all of humanity. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely amazing, right? And when you think of it right now, the responsibility that every single one of us plays in this pandemic, in trying to help control the spread of COVID-19, is that a verse. Don't create fitna, don't spread issues, and do our part in order to help protect others from receiving the spread of or being or contributing towards the spread of COVID-19. And what do we receive in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's as though we've saved all of humanity. It's as though we've saved all of humanity. Saving one life. One person. Why? Why does Allah say that? Again, the previous example was a discouragement. Here, it's an encouragement. To help save one person is like saving every human being. That person's life is no less sacred than the life of another person. And I'll give you a simple example that might make it easy for us to understand. One of the uncles in the masjid a few weeks ago, he was telling me, he says, Daoud, you know, with the vaccines, the AstraZeneca vaccine, how there's blood clots that, you know, are being reported in multiple different countries and regions, and the percentage is so low, right? So he says, you know, the percentage is so low. They say, oh, you know, it's safe. The percentage of the people that are going to get, you know, a blood clot or die from it is like, you know, a small percentage. So the uncle says, what if that small percentage was me? What if that small percentage was me? Now, yes, in Islam, there are risks that we have to take sometimes, right? And we weigh the risks and we do, you know, what has more pros in it, more positive than the negative, right? In generally speaking. But here, this uncle is giving this example. What if that small percentage is me? Are you saying that my life is not important? I'm saying that my wife doesn't deserve me to be there for her and with her? Are you saying that my grandchildren don't need to spend time with me? That other people's grandchildren can spend time with their grandparents, but for me, no, I shouldn't be here? And when he said it that way, I was like, subhanAllah, it's so true. We should go our distance to save even one life. That zero lives should be lost. Now, of course, in the midst of a pandemic, it's not realistic. It's not easy to completely have zero lives that are lost. But the point is that you work towards it, right? And that's what this brother was saying. He's like, we have to do our part. If something is not as good, we should strive hard to receive what is better and do what is better. And that is a beautiful example, subhanAllah. Do you know the brother was sharing? Allahu al-musta'an. My brothers and sisters, there's a number of verses that I really want to go through, but I don't think we're going to have time. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. Verse number 48 and 49 and 50. This sort of ties in with what we were talking about. Do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to do. Follow the Quran. Follow the rulings or the advice, the guidance of the Quran, what is mentioned therein, and stick to it. Do not leave it, and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do. Okay. Having said that, instead of taking a few more verses, I want to encourage every single one of us, and you know it, when the masjid is closed, we need to raise funds online. So I want to encourage everyone to remember that it is Ramadan, to remember that the masjid is still there, that we need to contribute all together, inshallah ta'ala, towards protecting, preserving, and maintaining our masjid. So if anyone wants to donate in person, there's timings that the management has arranged to have people or someone, a volunteer or one of the management, will be there to collect the donations outside of the masjid. Okay, so daily, around the time of Dhuhr, between 12:45 and 2 o'clock, okay, or you could say roughly 1 o'clock, so between 1 and 2 o'clock, if anyone wants to donate in person, between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, you can always go to the masjid and donate there in person. And in the evening, between 6 and 7 o'clock. Okay? So between 1 and 2, and between 6 and 7 p.m., every single day, inshallah ta'ala, someone from the management will be there to receive and collect donations that people want to give in person. And that also includes zakatul fitr. You know, one of the uncles was reminding me today, please encourage and remind people to pay up their zakatul fitr on time, early. So we should take advantage of that from now. Pay out our zakatul fitr. Usually we give it on our own. We're supposed to give it ourselves, right? But because we live in a country, maybe, you know, we don't have the means, or especially due to the pandemic, we're not able to freely go about doing this. So give it through one of the organizations or our masjid itself. For anyone who wants to donate to the masjid through the website, then visit the masjid website. I know our brother Riaz put the email address up there, but the masjid website is icnamilton.com. So icnamilton.com. And you can use that, inshallah ta'ala, for your donation. Just go to the masjid website, icnamilton.com, and you'll be able to donate through the portal there. Or if you want to send an e-transfer, well, Riyadh put it up on my Instagram, on the Masjid Instagram, which is iccm.operations@gmail.com. Once again, it is iccm.operations@gmail.com. And I will put it up here for you on YouTube and Facebook, inshallah. You can donate at ikenamilton.com or e-transfer to iccm.operations@gmail.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. And remember, you know, for those who want to go in person and donate, the donation stations will be on the outside of the masjid, so there will be someone there who's monitoring, and if you need something, then you know they'll be on the inside, inshallah. You can always go and you know, make your donations, but we do encourage that people donate virtually, right? Try to avoid the spread of anything to anyone. We have to do our part. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fakannama qatala an-nasa jami'a wa man ahyaha fakannama ahya an-nasa jami'a." So let's do our part, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.